of Hebrews chapter 6. Today's fifth Sunday. We used to would have an afternoon service. That's why we had a little more singing this morning. We used to would have an afternoon service, and we would have a little preaching and a lot of singing. But I told them half the people used to would leave, and the other half would get their afternoon Sunday afternoon nap during that service. So we just kind of went away with it. But we are did a little extra singing this morning. But if you got a Bible, Hebrews chapter 6 and verse number 9. It said, "But beloved, we are persuaded better things of you and things that accompany salvation, though we thus speak. For God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love, which ye have showed toward His name, in that ye have ministered to the saints and do minister. And we desire that every one of you do show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope unto the end, that you be not slothful, but followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises." Let's pray. Father, Lord, we bow our heads to You today. And God, we thank You so much for the Word of God that You've given to us. Help us to be grateful to have a completed copy of it. And God, I pray that the Holy Ghost would take the words that we've read today and would bless them. Lord, I know that there are all sorts of people here that have different things going on in their lives. And God, I pray You'd speak to each one according to Your will. Lord, I pray You'd bless the fellowship in a little while, that we could just have a good time as Your children in Your name. And Lord, we want to say we love You in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, if you remember, last week we were talking, we've been in Hebrews for a little while. And what the writer of Hebrews was saying last week was that we need to leave the principal things. He said there are some foundational things in Christ that we need to get established, and we need to move on to better things. And he talks also about how it's impossible to be saved and to be lost and to be saved again and continue to be saved and lose your salvation and fall away and come back. And he talked about how the rain falls on the earth and how some brings forth good fruit and some are thorns and thistles to be burned. And in talking about that parallel, it's the same way with Christ, that God rains blessings on this earth. He draws all men to Him. And some bear fruit unto salvation and some do not. And on the heels of all that that he said, he came to verse number 9. And he says, "But, beloved, we are persuaded better things of you and things that accompany salvation." You know, the first thing I want to talk about today is the lasting effect of salvation. Salvation's lasting effect. You know, when we get saved, when we get born again from God, it's more than just a decision to believe in Jesus. It's more than joining church. It's more than being baptized. It's more than all these things. What happens is that the God of all the world, the God of the universe, comes into your heart and takes up residence. You know what that means? That means that a big God has come in and changed your life. Some people tell me they got saved and they live the exact same way. There's no spiritual fruit in their life. They're not trying to seek after the things of God. And I've got to ask the question, did God actually move in? Because if a God that big moves into your heart, I want you to know He's got to come out of you somewhere. Amen? He's got to be bringing forth fruit in your life. And the writer of Hebrews says, "Beloved," I say that to you today, Oak Grove Baptist Church, that, "Beloved, God has better things in store for you than just to say, 'I believe in Jesus.'" He's got better things in store for you than just to be a member on the church roll. He's got things that accompany salvation. Better than hell, we know that. Better than the fear of losing your salvation, we know that. But there are some things that accompany salvation that God has in store for you. I want you to see something today, and I hope that when you leave, you take this home with you, that God has things in store for you. God has things at your fingertips, at your disposal, that maybe you're not taking advantage of. I mean, there's a great God to experience. There's a great God to be a part of, and some of us might not be experiencing Him to the fullest that God wants us to be. And you know, there's some things that accompany salvation. You know what some things? I just wrote some things down that accompany salvation. You know what comes with being saved? The peace of God. Amen. I lay my head down at night, and I want to tell you something. I never, ever fear dying in my sleep. Amen. Because I know where I'm going. I know that I'll go to be with Jesus. If I close my eyes in death, I know I'll open them in glory. I know I'll open them and walk through gates of splendor and be with Jesus Christ for all eternity. I remember one time when I was in the Air Force, we was in Albuquerque, and I still got my truck that I had. Me and Brother Brian were talking about that yesterday. It's got some sentimental value to me. I've had it since I was 18. And we were in Albuquerque. We were carpooling from Texas to Arizona, some guys who were moving. And in Albuquerque, our friend's Z71 broke down. Now, the Ford had to pull the Z71. You take that for whatever you want to take it for. But we had to hook to his truck with mine and pull it from Albuquerque to Phoenix, okay? So we had to deflate his tires, put it on a car dolly, and we're pulling it from Albuquerque to Phoenix. Well, we took the scenic route, and so we're in the mountains pulling this truck in my truck, and I wasn't driving. One of my friends was driving. Well, little did we know that as we're on the mountains, my brakes are getting hot. And he says at one point as we're going, he says, I've got to find a place to pull over because I think the brakes are getting hot. And man, we find a pullover. There's like a pullover every now and then out there in the Albuquerque, New Mexico mountains. Well, we find a place to pull over. He pulls over, and he stands up on the brake. He puts the parking brake down, and he's standing up, and we're not stopping. He puts it back in drive, kicks the parking brake, and gets back on the road. He is frantic because he's thinking we can't stop. Just so happens there's another place, and he pulls over and gets the truck to stop. He puts it in park. He rolls out of the truck and is sitting on the ground crying because he thought, we're about to die. Now, not to say that I wasn't worried about going over the cliff, but I wasn't crying because I wasn't worried about dying. Not that I wanted to hit the bottom of the valley, but it's just a difference there. When you get saved, you don't really worry about going into the next life. You don't worry about passing into eternity because you know that you're resting in the work of Jesus Christ. You know, there's other things that come along with salvation, joy and love, self-control, victory, a relationship with God. You know, that's what salvation is. It's an actual relationship with God. I walk with Him and I talk with Him along life's narrow way. I do. You know, I was talking to somebody this week and I told them something God's spoke to my heart on recently. About 2 weeks ago, God spoke to my heart about something. And I was telling Him about it. And man, in the middle of us talking, I stopped and I asked Him a question. I said, do you believe that? He said, do I believe what? I said, do you believe God spoke to me? He said, well, I mean, you said He did. I don't know. But God spoke to me. And that comes with salvation. God will speak to you. Amen. Let me ask you a question. When's the last time you heard from Him? When's the last time you had a relationship with Him? You know, I got up this week and we read a chapter of the Bible together today. Pick up a reading calendar on your way out and you can read a chapter of the Bible with us. But you know what? Man, God speaks to me through the Word of God. The reading that we read today, Psalm 118, you know what the Bible says in verse 24? It says this, and God spoke to my heart. Said, this is the day that the Lord hath made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. And God told me, He said, hey, I've made this day. You know what I need to do? Soak it up. I need to just soak it up. I need to enjoy it because God's given us this great gift. Man, a beautiful day. We're here together as the people of God. We're going to get to fellowship. We get to worship a God that's alive. He said, man, you will rejoice. I'm going to make a choice to rejoice. I'm going to make a choice to be glad in it. And you make a choice whether to be glad and happy or to be down and miserable. If you want to be miserable today, it's your choice. Or you can be glad in Jesus. Amen. But you get to have a relationship with Jesus Christ. He'll speak to you. You can speak to Him. Man, if you could call God on the phone, wouldn't you? Man, if you had the ear of God, well, I got news for you. You've got the ear of God if you're His child. You can cry out to Him in distress and He'll hear you and answer your prayers. These are things God has in store for you. These are things at your disposal. These are things you can have. But you got to take advantage of them. You know, sometimes I'll talk to people that can... Have you ever met people that know people that can do favors for them? They can make a phone call and they can get something done. And sometimes I'll ask them, I say, hey, can you do this for me? They say, well, I've run out of my favors. Or I don't want to use my favors right now. You know, well, sometimes that's how we are with God. We don't want to go to Him when we've got this great God at our disposal that we can have. Man, use this. This is what God has given us. Have you ever lived your life and thought, man, my life is so mundane. It is so boring. Man, I go to the same job every day. Man, what's there out there for me? Well, I got news for you. When you get saved, you get a life of purpose. You're doing things that have eternal value. Your coworkers are souls that are going to spend eternity somewhere. And you get a chance to be a light in this dark world. When you get saved, mundane things become eternal matters. You know, I told my wife one time, you know, about how God gets glory in monotonous things. You ever thought about how monotonous God can be? The sun comes up in the east every day. He don't ever shake it up and move it to the north. It just comes up in the same place every day. And it goes down in the west every day. And the seasons come. But guess what? It's the summer right now. And it's going to be the summer this time next year. God ain't going to change it up. He's just going to do the same thing. But God gets the glory out of some things that are just the same all the time. And sometimes your life might be monotonous, but I got news for you. God can get the glory out of that. A life of purpose. A life with meaning. A life that is fulfilled. You can come home each night and say, man, I've lived today. I've lived because I've lived in the will of God and I've done what He's called me to do. What a great thing that God has called us to do. There are great things that accompany salvation. I hope that you are enjoying the benefits of it in your life. Look at what it said in verse 10. It said, for God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love, which you have showed toward His name, and that you have ministered to the saints and do minister. Now, there are things that accompany salvation, but there are also some labors of love that me and you need to be doing. God, by the way, it says God's not unrighteous to forget your labor of love. Guess what else? He's not unrighteous to forget your lack of labor. One day we're going to stand before God and He's not going to forget what we've done. He's not going to just say, well, we're not going to worry about it. He remembers what we do for the good and He remembers what we don't do. And He remembers our labor of love. Man, if you want to get busy in kingdom work, if you want to get plugged in to work at church, at Oak Grove Baptist Church, I got news for you. We got plenty to do. Amen? We got plenty of places where you can minister. But here's the thing. Our good works, and by the way, we believe in that. God has called us and ordained us to good works. We should be doing good works. We don't do good works to earn our salvation. We do good works because we're saved. Amen. I do good works because Jesus loves me. Not to try to get Him to love me. He already does. But our good works have got to be out of a heart of love. If you're doing good works because you want to please me, you're way wrong. If you do good works because you feel obligated, then you're off base, amen? And God doesn't want that. The Bible talks about God loves a cheerful giver. You know that? If you writing that check out or pulling your wallet out to give to the Lord's cause and you saying, oh, I don't want to do this, but I got to do my duty, you might as well keep your money, amen? Because God wants a cheerful giver. And if you're here at church today saying, oh, check me off the list. I made it today, Brother Derek. I'm in the house and just give me my attendance star. You're here for the wrong reasons. You ought to be here and you ought to be doing things for the kingdom of God out of a heart of gratitude and a heart of love. And that's what we must have. He calls it here a labor of love. You know what He'll do for us? If we serve Him out of a heart of love, He will in return give us great enjoyment in what we're doing. Man, if I'm doing it because I'm passionately in love with Jesus, He will return me a favor by giving me enjoyment and pleasure in doing what I'm doing for the cause of Christ. You know, sometimes we view Christianity, and a lot of people view this, that Christianity and working for the Lord is just hard labor. That, boy, we don't want to do it, and it's just hard, and we just got to do these things. That's a terrible way to view it, man. When God gives us a heart of love for it, it'll change the way we do. It says this, which we've done in His name, our good works must be done in His name. And then this, in that ye have ministered to the saints and do minister. God is watching to see us minister to the people of God. Amen. To minister to others, Christians, others that know the Lord. Let me ask you a question today. Who are you praying for? Who have you been an encouragement to? Who are you a friend to? Who are you investing in? Because God put people in your lives to be doing that, and He wants to see you ministering to the saints. You know one reason God created the church, this here, that we gather together like this? He created this so me and you could minister to one another. You know there's people that are here today that are hurting that you have no idea they're hurting? There are people here today that are going through things that me and you have no idea about. There are people that have problems and struggles. They might be somebody here today that hadn't had a good week, amen? I don't know who you are, but we're here to encourage those folks and love them and be a blessing to them, and God wants to see us do that. So do that. Look in verse 11. It says, "And we desire that every one of you do show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope unto the end." You know what each one of us should be doing? It says, "And He desires that every one of you..." Every one of us should be looking for more. You know, sometimes I'm always looking for more. I always want more, you know. And some people say, man, you ought to just be happy with what we got. I'm looking for more, amen. I want more people to get saved. I want more people to come to church. I want more things to do. But here's what He's saying about this text. And I must confess that I can be guilty of this. There's a lot of times that I want more, and I got diligence to do the work of God. Okay? I love my job, amen, the pastorate. I don't even want to call it a job, but my calling. And I love it. I love doing the work of a pastor. I love visiting. I love going and eating cake with people. Who wouldn't like that, amen? I love going to the hospitals. I love everything about it. But here's what He's talking about. Not being diligent to just good works, but being diligent and looking for more for your own spiritual growth. That I want to be more like Jesus, and I want to look more like Him. Let me ask you that question today. Are you being diligent in your own spiritual growth? Are you reading this Bible for yourself? I mean, do you do it? If you don't, you're not being diligent in your own spiritual growth. If we fail to get people to read their Bible, we failed. If you fail to read your Bible, you're not going to grow. It is the fundamental things. Are you reading your Bible? Do you, man, why would you turn down an opportunity for God to speak to you? That's like saying, man, you know what? My Bible's over here on the table. God could speak to me. Here's what we're saying. God, I'd rather not today. I'll take it myself. I'll go on my own. I don't want to hear from the King and Creator of the universe. Go ahead and do my own thing. We've got to be in our own Bibles. God's blessed us with our own copies. You realize how blessed you are? These people around the world would die for a Bible. There's villages around the world that only has the book of John, and they have tore it up and share the pages amongst the village. And me and you got our own Bible. You need to be diligent, looking for more to hear from God. You know, I want to tell you something that's amazing. I pastor this church. I've been pastoring it going on 9 years. I've preached thousands of sermons. I've done all that. You know what? Every time I open my Bible, man, God shines light on texts that I've already read. Things I already thought I knew, God shows me something in it. Let me ask you a question. Are you praying? Are you going to the Lord in prayer? Are you asking Him for supernatural things? Are you asking Him to do a work in your heart? The Bible says you have not because you ask not. If you'd like a fire in your heart to serve God, maybe ask for that fire. If you'd like to hear from God, maybe ask God to speak to you. You know, there are three things that you got to do to grow spiritually. You've got to be in the Word of God, you've got to be in prayer, and you've got to be in worship. You know what we're here doing today? We're not here just sitting up and taking warming up a seat. You're here to worship your God. And we do that by singing. We do that by giving. We do that by listening to the preached Word of God and receiving it. We do it by serving Him. We do all these things. Are you sharing your faith with anybody? My goodness, Jesus changed your life. That's what you said? I mean, Jesus changed your life. You was a sinner, lost in your sins, and He saved you marvelously, unconditionally forgave you of all your sins, past, present, and future. When's the last time you shared that with anybody? Anybody. You know what the Bible tells us? It says this, that we ought to be ready to give an answer to any man who asks of the hope that lies within us. Now, there's something interesting about that passage. They are assuming that someone is going to ask us about the hope that's in us. They are assuming that we're going to be living in such a way that someone's going to say, "Hey, man, hey, ma'am, how do you live this life? How are you so content? How are you so happy all the time? How are you experiencing all these great things?" And then you can give them the answer. Are you living out your faith? We need to be looking for more. You know, it talks about a full assurance of hope unto the end. Man, we've got to be settled. There's some things we've got to get settled on. There's a full assurance of hope, and we've got to be seeking that. And it says even unto the end. I want you to know something tonight. Today, I haven't arrived, okay? I haven't arrived. I'm not like Jesus in every way. It's a lifelong journey unto the end. I'm supposed to be trying to look more like Him a long life's way. And you're not ever going to arrive till you get to heaven to be with Him. But we should be striving to know more about Him, look more like Him, sound more like Him, and just please Him more in our own lives until the end. Look at verse 12. That you be not slothful, but followers of them through faith and patience, inherit the promises. In verse 12, he tells us just this flat-out thing that we can't be lazy. Amen? We're not supposed to be lazy. You know, when I grew up, I was a lazy kid, okay? My mom used to say, she'd say, "I can see the laziness dripping off of you." Now, that's bad, ain't it? I don't know what that looks like, but that's bad when the laziness is dripping off of you. But unfortunately, some of us are lazy in spiritual matters. Hey, some people will work hard. I mean, they go out there and work hard and sweat and just give it all they got. But in spiritual matters, unfortunately, the laziness is dripping off of them. They won't read. They won't pray. They won't come to church. They won't do good works. They won't serve in the church. They are takers. They are not givers. They are saying, "Hey, what can you do for me?" instead of "What can I do for others?" And they are laziness. Well, the writer of Hebrews tells us this, not to be lazy in these things. Now, we got to get down to old-fashioned confession today. And I want you to confess in your own heart, have I been lazy in spiritual things? In your own heart. Have I been lazy on good works? Man, how would my church be if every church member was just like me? Amen? Have I been lazy in good works? Have I been lazy in my spiritual growth? You know, earlier as we was reading in Hebrews, you know what it talked about? It talked about babes in Christ. And he talked about this. He said, some of you ought to be teachers by now, but we still sticking a bottle in your mouth. Now let me ask you a question. How long have you been saved? Are you still a babe in Christ? You're a babe in Christ because of laziness. You haven't got where you need to be. Now, I also say there ain't nothing wrong with being a babe in Christ. We all had to start there. That's like I tell them about being a small church sometimes. You know, I'll talk to pastors who have really small congregations, and I'll say, hey, look, there ain't nothing wrong with being a small church, but there's something wrong with not growing. There's something wrong with not growing. And we need to be growing physically and spiritually. And then it tells us this word of advice, and I'm going to give it to you. It says, but followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises. I got to ask you a question today. Do you have any mentors? You got any people you look up to spiritually? These people need to have two qualities. They need to have faith, and they need to have patience. You know, I've shared with you this before. Now, this is, to some of y'all, be silly. But on my desk in there, I got a turtle. Oh, he's not alive. He's wooden. He's carved. And man, I want everything now. I'm from the microwave generation, right? Microwave. Get it now. I'm high-speed internet generation. I want it now. And so I look at that turtle every now and then whenever I go to wanting it all now, and God reminds me it's going to take time to be patient. People that have longevity in ministry. I see people rise and fall in church. I see people come in like a ball of fire and fizzle out like a shooting star. But those people that are here and have longevity and stuck it out, those are the people that we need to have as mentors. People that have faith and people that have patience to grow. You need to have patience as well, amen? And so here's the things that we need to take home with us today. Salvation has a lasting effect. There are things that accompany salvation for your good and for your betterment. We hope better things for you. I hope better things for you in your spiritual life. Number two, we ought to have a labor of love. Amen? We ought to be laboring for Christ out of a heart of love for Him, not out of a heart of duty, but a heart of love. Number three is that we need to be looking for more. Wherever you're at now, say, I want more. It is not wrong to want more of God. You'll never be wrong. It's okay to be greedy wanting a little more of God, amen, and want a little more. And number four, don't be lazy. If you've been being lazy in your spiritual life, your walk with God, your church work, commit today. Say, I'm going to have a better work ethic. I'm going to do things for the glory of God, and I'm going to strive to be better in those areas. Let's stand together today. We're going to have a song of invitation, time for you to do business with the Lord.